In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. He was, and is, and ever shall be. On this great Palm Sunday, we celebrate two great feasts, actually as one. We celebrate the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and then we also celebrate our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, what truths and what meanings do these two events give to us as Orthodox Christians, especially as we enter into this very intense, this very transformative, this very beautiful week of Holy Week? Well, let's first look at the raising of Lazarus. Why did Jesus raise Lazarus? There's only one great overarching reason why Jesus raised Lazarus. It's because Jesus loved Lazarus. That's why he raised him. Jesus' love for Lazarus motivated Jesus making the trip, going to the tomb, weeping over Lazarus' death, and then commanding Lazarus to come out of the tomb, raised from the dead. This miracle was not a mere demonstration of Jesus' power. It was not a mere demonstration of his authority over death. Rather, it reveals the magnitude of Jesus' love for a man, Lazarus, but not just only for Lazarus, and not just only for his two sisters, but for all of mankind, including all of us. Jesus resurrected Lazarus because he loved Lazarus, and Jesus will resurrect each one of us because he loves each one of us. God's love compels all the good things that he does, as it compels that he will resurrect from the dead and will resurrect each one of us from the dead. And his love also makes it unacceptable to Jesus that any of us remain dead. The Lord's love is so great and so powerful and so authoritative that it does not even accept death. The second thing that we can look at is Mary, his sister, anoints Jesus' feet, particularly with very costly nard or spikenard, which is a luxurious ointment that smells very beautiful. And not only does she do this, but wipes the ointment with her hair on Jesus' feet. Now, what does this reveal? This reveals Mary's response to the great gift that Jesus resurrected her brother. And it revealed Mary's pure, unadulterated gratitude. She anointed this with a very expensive, luxurious ointment, and that is very conspicuous. It is a very prized, and she's giving all of her the best, not in a prideful way at all, but rather she was symbolically and sacrificially giving her best out of gratitude, revealing that she was giving all of her heart and her soul and her mind and her strength to show her gratitude to Jesus, to show her praise and to show her worship and to show her thanks. Now, if you think you it's necessarily about the dollar value of what this woman gave, don't think so. Because if you remember, there was another occasion where a woman, a poor widow, only gave 2 mites. But that was all that she had, and it was all the best that she had. And she gave that to Jesus, and that was enough. So we are called, the most important thing is our gratitude, and to always return and remember all the beautiful things that God has done and will do for us, especially this beautiful resurrection that will give us the way to the kingdom of heaven if we want it. God will raise the people who don't want to go to heaven, and I don't know where they'll go. I don't even want to think about it. But God will raise everyone to heaven, and those who want the heavenly kingdom, it will be theirs to enjoy if they follow their Lord. A third thing to think about, and that reveals something about the human condition, is that when Judas Iscariot saw Mary pouring this expensive ointment on Jesus' feet, he was scandalized. He couldn't believe it. It's almost like it hurt his soul to see this ointment, this expensive ointment being used in this way. In fact, Judas was offended and found her anointing unreasonable. It says in the scripture that Judas said, she should have sold this money and given it to the poor. What a disingenuous person Judas Iscariot is, because he knew, and perhaps even the disciples knew, I don't know what they knew, but Judas knew and Jesus knew that Judas liked to steal from the money box, that he was in charge of it, and that money that should have been sold, he really didn't want it to be given to the poor. He wanted it to be put in that box so that he could steal it himself. Notice at any time, Judas could have given his own money, his own equivalent of the ointment, his own two mites even, and given to the poor. But he was greedy, and he wanted everything for himself, and he was very, very happy to know that other people's money would be given to the poor. He wanted to serve himself. So Judas's reaction is the exact opposite of Mary's gratitude. We need to think about the magnitude of our gratitude. I did not mean for that to rhyme. I'm sorry. But we need to think of our gratitude. And if we are not showing gratitude, but that gratitude is filled with something else that is opposite of that, we are acting in a way very much like Judas to some extent or the other. So Judas was scandalized, and he was a thief. And Mary anointed Jesus' feet with pure gratitude and worship. Let's wait until Tuesday evening on this great Holy Week when we sing the great hymns of Holy Tuesday night, where they compare the gratitude of Mary and the ingratitude of Jesus. It goes back and forth. And there's that beautiful hymn of Cassiani, where we're going to sing on Tuesday night, that St. Cassiani reflects on the very aspect that these feet that she was anointing are the feet that walked on the waters, and that Jesus, the one who created the heavens, who created the rains from the sky, this is who we have in front of us. And then finally, Jesus came only to save us from death, not to be a mere philosopher, not to be a great teacher, as some people in the scriptures called him, but to rescue us from death and to usher us into the heavenly kingdom. Jesus Christ has come to rescue us from something to something, from death to life, from imprisonment of sin to freedom at his bosom in the kingdom of heaven. So we are called to be like Mary, who gave her best and her everything. And then Jesus is what we celebrate on this Sunday, enters into the kingdom, into the city of Jerusalem triumphantly. The word triumph in ancient Rome meant something very specific and particular. Not every Roman victor got his own triumph. Not nearly for beating an enemy did a Roman general or an emperor receive a triumph. A Roman emperor received a triumph when he essentially, for the better, expanded the kingdom, the empire of Rome. So when we call this feast day the triumphal entry of Jesus into the Jerusalem, those who wrote the scriptures, the Christians who sang the songs and knew these terms, knew exactly what it meant by a triumphal entry of the Lord into the kingdom of heaven. And that's why people laid out palms and sang hymns of victory, because Jesus' victory over death is greater, life-changing, universe-changing, changing of everything that we know about our life for the better. That's why we call this a triumph. And we raise the palms of victory. And we sing songs and we glorify and praise our Lord. So Jesus entered Jerusalem as God, as Lord, as Savior, as it says in the hymns, as a life, the life giver, the life restorer, and the light giver, and also the one who is philanthropos, above and connected with all those good things. He is also the friend of man. And so the people had and gave an enthusiastic reception to Jesus Christ. Now we need to understand the reality of this crowd's reception, because the crowd was fickle. They went this way, they went that way. They followed, they were encouraged by one victor, and then when there was another victor, they followed him. When someone was up, they were excited about him. When someone was down, they left him in the dust. So this crowd was fickle. Some came out of expression for pure joy, knowing the meaning of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Some came out of sheer curiosity, wanting to see the latest spectacle that Jesus did. Some people wanted to see Lazarus alive, kind of like a living, walking, talking relic, that who was once dead is now alive. And think about it. If there was no miracle, there would have been no crowd. The people came and crowded around Jesus this time and rejoiced because of this miracle. Now, Jesus would still deserve their worship and praise and thanks, even if he had not done this miracle. But if there was no miracle, there would have been no Palm Sunday. So when Jesus is mighty and showed his power and his strength, he was praised. When Jesus allowed himself to be weakened and arrested and crucified, the crowd abandoned him. So Jesus came and appeared to give them what they wanted. When he gave them what they wanted, they cheered. When he was not able in their eyes to give them what they wanted, they would later yell, "Crucify him." So Jesus enters into this fickle crowd, and Jesus has entered into this wishy-washy humanity, and he's entered even to our own lives, where, let us admit, sometimes we're hot, sometimes we're cold for Jesus, and he comes anyways and offers us and keeps opening himself to us and inviting us and showing us his power and making promises for the great things, up to and including life with him in the kingdom of heaven, fully alive forever. So these are the things, the truths and the meanings that come out from these two great events of raising Lazarus from the dead and our Lord's triumphal entry into the kingdom of heaven. Let this Sunday be a Sunday of joy, a Sunday of continued joy, a time where we continue to rededicate him in our lives to gratitude and praise and due worship to our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ.